Hi, and welcome to Swiss Info's program for April the 4th. I'm Jeannie Wirtz. Industrious and orderly. Quiet, polite, and clean. Neutral and patriotic. Prepared to defend the country. And a person with integrity. That's what every good Swiss should be. At least according to Die Schweizermacher. The Swiss Makers is the most popular Swiss movie of all time. In 1978, one-sixth of the Swiss population saw it in theaters.
Bobner, Kantonspolizei, Einbürgerungsabteilung. Wir überprüfen Ausländer, die Schweizer werden.
The movie follows two investigators whose job is to make sure that the applicants for citizenship are worthy of becoming Swiss. It's a satire, but 37 years later, some things haven't changed. This week we hear from immigrants, a researcher, and politicians. Why do people become Swiss citizens? For one American woman, the first step was tiramisu.
My husband is Swiss. He's from Ticino. And he came to Boston to do a postdoc at a hospital. And we sort of met through mutual friends in Boston, and one thing led to another. He made me homemade orange tiramisu, and that sealed the deal.
The couple married, and after a few years in Boston, they moved to Zurich. Some people never apply for citizenship. Others want to be more than a foreigner.
It just seemed like the right thing to do. You know, I wanted to just feel integrated. I wanted to feel just as much that this is my home as everybody else. And I think that's an important part of the process, you know, learning the language, finding your place, having the same rights that everybody else really has. You know, the main reason was more or less to feel integrated and that this is my home.
Every locality in Switzerland has its own process to evaluate candidates for citizenship. There's always an interview. Sometimes it's in an office. Other times, like in the movie Die Schweizermacher, it's in your home.
That was probably the most unexpected part of the whole process. So a detective from the city of Zurich came to our house unannounced at lunchtime, which is like the sacred hour in Switzerland, right, to interview me. And I kind of knew that possibly I could have been interviewed, but I didn't know by whom or how it would happen. I at least thought I'd be given some sort of heads up. So when he came to the door unannounced at lunchtime, and I'm a mother of two small young boys, so thank God I was not in pajamas, which could very well be the case at noon. I was fully dressed, but one of my children was in the bathtub, and the other one was running around half-dressed.
So did he wait for you to take your son out of the tub, or what happened?
Well, I invited him in, and yeah, he was very polite, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't dressed in uniform. He just looked like sort of, you know, just an everyday type of guy, but he explained who he was and why he was there. And he just, I asked him if he wanted some water, and he sat down at the dining room table. And during this interview process, which lasted maybe about an hour and a half, he was considerate as I had to sort of get up and chase the kids and put clothes on. And we finally sat down and got to talking. And, you know, some of the questions he asked were very basic, like, why do you want to be Swiss? What's your motivation? Or how did you meet your husband? So I'm trying to speak to him in Swiss German. So I'm like, you know, I kind of set the kids up with toys, and then I'd get up and run away from a question every so often, which was kind of in my advantage, because sometimes you would ask a question and you'd freeze, and it would be the simplest question, like, can you name three Zurich newspapers? And then you go, oh my gosh, I can only think of, like, you know, Blick am Abend, like these really horrible, classless, like, you know, NZZ wouldn't come to your head. And then you'd feel like a total idiot. And you're like, oh, excuse me, can I just get my kid a glass of water? Your brain would have a minute to process the question you just asked, and you'd come back and you go, NZZ, you know, whatever other newspaper. So they weren't difficult questions, but it was kind of funny because when you're under pressure, normal information that you'd normally be able to process, all of a sudden you just get blocked.
A huge number of foreigners manage to have what it takes to become Swiss. Zurich is Switzerland's largest city. One in three residents of the city is foreign. And just in that city, nearly 2,000 immigrants from 100 different countries became Swiss citizens in 2014. Almost 800 of these new citizens, and their guests, filled Zurich's Congress House recently. They were celebrating the end of the naturalization process. I sat in the front row in a huge room filled with chairs. There was the hum of voices and languages I didn't recognize. The stage before me was filled with a podium and instruments and music stands. Members of the city council chatted to my left. To my right, an Indian man did a crossword puzzle. Beyond him, a small boy stood in his father's lap, fingers in his mouth, looking around. Just before 7 p.m., the stage filled with young musicians, and the celebration began. Gerald Lauber of the Zurich City Council welcomed the new citizens.
A look back at the history of our city shows that Zurich would never have developed as successfully as it did if it hadn't been for people from other countries, people with other customs and cultures who expanded and enriched our world. Ladies and gentlemen, for me, in Zurich there are not Swiss men and Swiss women, foreign men and foreign women. For me, there are only men and women of Zurich, with or without a Swiss passport.
The keynote speaker was a woman named Alika Jalili. She came to Zurich in the 1980s to study, when her homeland, Iran, was at war with Iraq. She moved from a city the size of Switzerland to a small town in Switzerland, where she was surprised to meet the same people on the street every day. Now Jalili has a degree in Islamic studies and lives in Zurich. Today, she sees herself as cultural go-between.
Curiosity about my surroundings and the precarious situation in my country of birth have spurred me on to learn more about myself and my origins, and to pass along what I've learned. I see migration as an opportunity and as enriching, not just for us, but for both sides.
After the speeches and music, we headed for a reception. I talked with adults from Angola, China, and Russia, from Poland, Turkey, and Serbia, from the United States and Germany. There were also children of foreign parents. Many of them were second-generation kids, known as secundos, who were born in Switzerland.
How long have you been living in Switzerland?
Since 15 years.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Where are you originally from?
I am half Czech and half German. But I was born in France, in Toulouse.
And why do you want to become Swiss?
Because I live here, I go to school here, and Zurich is my country, and I think I want to go to university here, I want to study medicine, and
It took 29 years for one man to decide to become Swiss.
Now I have decided to settle in Switzerland, yes. It's a peaceful country, it's a small country where I enjoy the smallness, and as well as a cosmopolitan country, it has everything.
9-year-old John is at the reception with his family. He was born in Switzerland to a German mother. I ask him what Einbürgerung, the German word for becoming a citizen, means. He tells me that when you get a Swiss passport, you're eingebürgert.
Was ist Einbürgerung, weißt du?
Ja, also wenn man einen Pass für die Schweiz bekommt, dann ist man eingebürgert. Also wenn man einen hat.
Germans are the immigrants who most often become Swiss citizens. And being able to vote is one of the reasons people become Swiss. I talked with a couple standing at a table in a corner.
Have you just become Swiss?
Actually, I'm not. I'm his partner and he just became Swiss. So he brought me today just to have an experience what it means. But I'm next in line though.
Where are you from?
I'm from Malaysia. And today I heard there's one person that was a Malaysian in this group. This was fantastic. So next probably will be me.
And you're from where?
Germany now.
How long have you been living in Switzerland?
Since 97.
And why did you decide to become Swiss?
Because I'm living here, but I have only the right to vote in Germany, which I'm not really caring about. No? So I also wanted to participate in this fantastic democratic system here. No?
But you also have interest in getting involved in the politics because you are a person who likes certain things like going green, and there's a green party. You spoke about it. Come on.
Yeah, this is just fantasies, no? I mean...
Come on.
But I don't think so. I think that's the nice thing about Switzerland. It's so small that they actually need people to volunteer.
Yeah, this is true. Maybe in the future I will consider such a path or so, no?
Because he's very interested in Switzerland's politics and history, and he reads a lot of different things, and he always comes back with information like how one could make a difference, how one could make an influence in going green and so on. This is why I told him you should become a Swiss and you can make a difference. I was encouraging you, didn't I?
The Swiss are very proud of their tradition of direct democracy. Not only can citizens elect politicians and run for office, They can also propose new laws or changes to existing ones. And they can overturn laws that have been passed. Options for foreigners to participate in Swiss politics are limited. Should they be? Eric Hess is a member of the conservative right Swiss People's Party. He's against giving political rights to foreigners.
In my opinion, foreigners are guests in Switzerland and shouldn't be involved in the political process. If they're really well integrated and want to be politically active, they should become citizens.
That's what Olga Baranova did. She's the youngest member of the Geneva City Council.
You became Swiss so that you could get into politics?
Yes and no. I mean, for me it was clear that when I had the possibility to become Swiss, I would straight away go and get the Swiss passport, because I projected already my life in Geneva and Switzerland, and when you have a Russian passport, not even a European passport, it's very, very hard here to study, to do anything. So for me it was clear, and politics was of course a very important argument too, because I was already in the socialist youth. So, for example, I was getting signatures for referendums and initiatives, but I didn't have the possibility to vote myself. And that was extremely frustrating.
Voting is one of the main benefits of becoming a citizen. Carmel Fröhlicher is originally from Haiti. As a member of the Federal Commission on Migration, she thinks being able to vote is important for everyone.
You vote for everything in Switzerland. That's the interesting part. And the weight that is given to this Volksabstimmungen is phenomenal. A lot of people, especially on local issues, these people would like to vote. They think it's important to vote, but they cannot vote.
In 2014, political scientist Andreas Ladner of the University of Lausanne looked at how foreigners would vote if they could. He found that non-Swiss would tend to elect left-wing parties. They were less likely to support the army or nuclear power than Swiss citizens. And not surprisingly, they were more likely to support equal opportunities for foreigners. Being integrated is one of the prerequisites for becoming Swiss. According to Andreas Ladner, there are two different concepts of integration, however.
The background of this debate is, well, what comes first? I mean, do you have to integrate somehow into Swiss society? Do you have to get familiar with the values and the functioning of the Swiss political system? And once you have become integrated, then you'll be given Swiss citizenship and the political rights to participate. Whereas the others say, well, if it takes such a long time, that's very unusual, and having been given the rights to participate will also foster integration, or makes it easier to integrate into society. So whether the possibility to vote should come at the beginning of the process or at the end of the process, I think that's the debate.
That's all we have time for. For more about becoming Swiss and voting, go to our website, www.swissinfo.ch. To play us out, here's one of the entries from a contest to choose a new Swiss anthem, option E in Italian. You don't even have to be Swiss to vote, but you do have to live in Switzerland. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Daniel Wieler. Tune in again next week. I'm Jeannie Wirtz.